All right, good morning. And it's good to see you all this morning. And before we begin opening the Word of God to hear Him speak this morning, I do want to just pause for a moment and while we're allowing everyone to join in this morning, just to share with you, I'm so grateful for our church family this week, reaching out, ministering to some of our brothers and sisters in need, checking on them. Our church was able to be a channel of blessing this week to probably 175 or more children that wouldn't have had food this week because the schools were closed. And so grateful for those who helped us to make that possibility. Also thankful working with other churches in different locations and sharing resources so that we can be that channel of blessing. And so thank you for all those who made that possible. Thank you for the individual things that you did, church family, being salt, being light, going and helping our neighbors in need. I'm thankful for that. As you're gathering in this morning, we're going to be in 2 Peter chapter 1 in just a moment. But while you're finding your place there, also this morning, I want to encourage you as well, be in prayer for some of our brothers and sisters that are in the hospital and getting treatment. Our brother Scotty Green and Miss Brenda are there in Charlotte CMC, and just pray for the doctors to give them wisdom as they care for Brother Scotty, and strength for him and his family. Also, we want to pray. Our brother Tony Smith fell, broke his arm, helping a neighbor, which is what we're supposed to do—not get her injured, but pray for him this morning and for Crystal, for God's provision for them. As well, our sister Sheila Payne continues to receive her treatments and looks forward to being back home soon. And so lift these up this morning and pray for God's comfort for them, strength for them. And again, we're going to have another week, an opportunity to get out there and to help our community and to be the salt, be the light, be the hands and feet of Jesus. And I'm grateful to be a part of a church that's alive this morning. All right, God's word's alive as well, so we're going to dive into it. But let's go before the Lord in prayer this morning and ask Him to bless our time together. Father, Father, we can't gather in person in the church, Lord, but we are the church who gathers together this morning to open the Word of God and hear You speak. Lord, thank You, Lord, that technology avails us of this opportunity this morning. And so, Lord, may Your word go forth in power. I'm so thankful, Father, this morning, to be a part of a church that is not stopped by the snowstorm, the ice storm, Lord. But God, we see and saw, we saw the opportunities and seized them to be channels of blessing, both corporately and individually, Lord. Thank You for church family members who checked on neighbors next door and assisted them, or even brothers and sisters in need. Now, God, we come, though, this morning praying, interceding for Tony, praying for Scotty, praying for Sheila. May You continue to heal them and strengthen them. God, Lord, as they're there in the hospital, Lord, we pray they bear a good witness for Jesus about the sufficiency of Your grace, how Your power is made manifest in their times of weakness. And so, Lord, encourage our brothers and sisters as they walk through trials. Lord, show them, demonstrate You are a great God with amazing power. And Lord, that You are working things together for their good and ultimately Your glory. Lord, we come, open our hearts right now to hear You speak. I'm so grateful we get to open the word. We live in a nation and we have the freedom to do this. So may we never take that for granted. But God, take this time and use it for Your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. All right. 2 Peter chapter 1. Again, you know, this is a great opportunity for us to open this morning the Bible and to continue our study on the theological essentials of the Christian faith. Now, last week we dove right into the doctrine of revelation. What that means is God is revealing Himself. He is revealing Himself through natural revelation or general revelation and through special revelation. What's He revealing? He's speaking. I mean, if you want to communicate and tell somebody something, you speak. So God speaks, and He speaks. Creation tells us He's a mighty God. Tells us about His character or His essence, what kind of God He is. The special revelation that we saw over in Psalm 19 highlights when God speaks in the Word. Now, we saw that's a living Word and a written Word. The written Word is the canon of Scripture, Genesis to Revelation. He also speaks through Christ, the living word, the word that became flesh and dwelt among us. And that's Christology. We'll get to that later, probably around March or April. But today we're focusing on not only the fact that God speaks and tells us who he is and what he's done and what he wants to do, his purpose, not only in this world, but in your life and my life. That God that speaks to us and reveals himself has something to tell us and has a reason why you and I should put our faith in him. This Bible, listen, my Bible is precious to me. I hope it's precious to you. It should be. It's vital to our faith. Remember, when we open the word, what happens? God speaks. Now, I miss hearing you say that this morning together, so I hope you said it there. But remember that, whenever I open the word, God speaks. And this book is different from all the other books. This revelation is different from any other book you have on your shelf or any other book that another denomination or another religion may have, right? If you share with your neighbor, you go and help your neighbor, minister to them in some way, and you make a reference to the Bible, they may say, why do you always talk about the Bible? Why do you always refer to the Bible? I mean, the Muslims have the Quran. The Mormons have their Book of Mormon. All the religions seem to have their holy book. Why is the Bible so special? I mean, isn't it just stories? Isn't it just people's stories and ideas? What would you say to them? I mean, we have to have an answer for our faith. Peter says that as well over in 1 Peter chapter 4. Well, Peter may have had those discussions because the Christian faith was strange even in his day. And while they didn't have the Bible like we have it compiled, put together, the Old and New Testaments, they were collecting the letters. They were collecting the gospel accounts. In fact, he'll refer over in chapter 3 to Paul's letters. He'll say some of the things Paul writes it's hard to understand. And I'll just say amen to that. Some of the things are hard to understand that Paul wrote. And so that's why we use scripture to interpret scripture. But clearly the church was collecting these letters and they were reading them. And so, you read the letter from the Colossians, you read the letter to the Ephesians, and even if you didn't live in Ephesus or in Colossae. And so Peter says, listen, we have a faith that is precious to us. He says that over in chapter 1, verse 1, that we have a like precious faith by the righteousness that we have found in our God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord for that today. What does that faith rest upon? Why do we speak about this Bible and the truth that we have here? Peter, listen, there were false teachers that he was having to deal with. Chapter 2 will highlight all the dangerous doctrines that they were espousing. And Peter, listen, he's going to die soon. He's about to be a martyr for the faith. And realizing that, he says, listen, let me say something to the church today. Let me say something about the importance of knowing the truth, living by the truth, standing on the truth. And that's what we have in the Word of God. This Word is the authoritative, inspired Word of God. If God has spoken, he is the ultimate authority. I guess you would agree with that. Amen. I hope so. He is the ultimate authority. And Peter says, God has spoken, and we are building our precious faith on the truth of what God has spoken to us. Now, what has God spoken to us? Now, he's going to highlight here in verses 16 through 21, two areas where we find an authoritative, trustworthy word from God. And when he speaks this way, he's saying, listen, we have eyewitnesses. Apostolic eyewitnesses. They have revealed to us. Peter's one of them. We also have the confirmed prophecies of the Old Testament. And when you put those things together, that's the scriptures. And he highlights those over in chapter 3. He'll talk about building your life, being mindful of the words that were spoken beforehand by the prophets and the commandments of the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll speak at the end of chapter 3 about Paul and his epistles over in verses 15 and 16. He says, listen, what you and I are trusting in, God's word, has come to us through eyewitnesses that we can believe in. and through the work of the Spirit of God, who inspired them to write down what they wrote down. And so when we read this, watch, follow along with me. This is beautiful. We're going to divide this verses 16 through 18 and then 19 through 21. Watch. For we did not follow cunningly devised fables. I would underline that in my Bible. When we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory. When such a voice came to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And we heard this voice, which came from heaven, when we were with him on the holy mountain. But not only that. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this, first, no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. That's a key phrase right there in verse 20. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men spoke of God and spoke, notice this, you might want to underline it, as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So that our faith is resting on two critical things this morning. One, the eyewitness testimony of apostles and the confirmed prophetic word. And may I just say, they were all inspired by the Spirit of God to write down what we are believing in, what we are trusting in. You and I, listen, we're not taking a blind leap of faith out there. We are believing what God has spoken to us in this word. And if we don't have this faith, remember, faith comes by hearing, Romans 10:17, hearing by the word of God. God has spoken and we choose to believe it. Now you can reject it. You can, many do. Many reject the light, the word that is being spoken in creation. But God has spoken specifically to us here in the word of God. And so what was recorded for us, the early church knew they needed these eyewitness testimonies because they were going to die off. And others would need to believe. So they began writing this down, the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the book of Acts, right? The Acts of the church. Really, it's the Acts of the Holy Spirit working in the churches. The word was spread. All the letters, the Pauline corpus, we call it. That means all of Paul's letters to churches and to individuals. Peter, James, John, Jude, all those epistles that were written. And then, of course, the book of Revelation. And that one is a challenge in and of itself, but it is a revelation of the Lamb of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what God is doing when he speaks, right? He's revealing. And he inspired these individuals to write this down. So listen, my faith this morning, your faith, if someone asks, we don't just have any book. We have the Word of God that God's Spirit has inspired to write down. And it begins with these eyewitness testimonies. Now notice, he makes this very important in verses 16 through 18. Y'all, we have not followed cunningly devised fables. Other translations may say cleverly devised myths, like these fanciful tales, clever stories. No, we have eyewitness experiences. Their testimony, what they recorded, is what they saw and heard. John would say that over in 1 John. What we have seen and what we have heard concerning the word of life. Isn't that interesting? John would even say, hey, we saw him, we touched the word of life. That word is speaking to us. That word has come to us. And so John says it, Peter says it. But all of this is very vital. Peter says, listen, we have eyewitness testimony. In fact, we didn't follow that fable. We didn't give you a bunch of fables. No, we were eyewitnesses. Notice how he says that. I underlined it in my Bible. And not just eyewitnesses. Eyewitnesses of his majesty. They received from the Lord a word that God spoke and they heard it. Remember, that's over in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. The Mount of Transfiguration is what Peter's referring to here. That was an experience in and of itself, because there Jesus took them up on the mountain, and there He was transfigured. He pulled the veil back and the glorious presence of God was seen. Moses and Elijah appeared and they were talking. And Peter, of course, always one prone to put his foot in his mouth, said, "Hey, Lord, should we make three tabernacles for you here?" And that's when the cloud came and the Father spoke. And the Father said, "This is my Son, my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." What an experience that was. I mean, could you imagine that? It was so experience. I mean, Peter and they all fell on their faces. And then Jesus said, "Okay, come on, let's go get back up." And they looked up and everything had changed again. But Peter said, "We saw that. We heard that voice. We were eyewitnesses and we heard." The emphasis again on those two senses. Something John would say over in 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Those things were heard and they were seen. Now, what does that mean? You know, that means that what they record for us is truth, their true experiences. And the Spirit inspired them to record those things. And so either the apostles are telling us the truth or they are frauds, deceivers, and liars. Now, I choose to believe that they are telling me the truth because of what they were willing to experience, suffering for the faith, and being willing to die. Peter is about to, he'll mention that over in the, just before this, his exodus is about to happen. He wants them to be reminded of these things because he knows he's about to die. He's about to be martyred. Jesus had told him, "Listen, this is how you're going to die. You're going to be a martyr for the faith." And he was, of course, the church history says he was martyred upside down because he didn't want to die crucified like the Lord. So he was crucified upside down. Whether that's true or not, I don't know, but I know he's willing to die. I don't think I'd die for a lie. I hope not. He knew, he believed this was the truth. He had seen the one who said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And he's giving us true testimony. But what's amazing is I know some of the people out there, they say, "Well, you know, I would believe the Bible. I would trust in what it says if I had that experience, if I could walk with Jesus." And the amazing thing is Peter is essentially saying, "You know what? That experience that we have, you can have too, because you can hear God speak anytime you open the Word of God." Why? Because the prophetic word is made sure. This is the emphasis in verses 19 through 21. That the experience, listen, what we believe is confirmed because they saw, they heard Jesus, the living word, the written word, the confirmed word, the prophetic word is confirmed. It is established. And so whether it's the Old Testament or the New Testament, when you and I open it, these bear witness to the Messiah, to the Christ. The Old Testament prophecies point to him. The New Testament points back to him. And all of it focuses on Jesus. That's why Jesus, walking on the road to Emmaus, he opened the scriptures and their eyes were opened. All those scriptures point to him, y'all. Everything. That's why we open the word and we say, "Jesus, show me who you are. Spirit of God, help me to see Jesus in this text." And it is an inspired word. Now, the inspiration is focused on right here in verses 19, 20, and 21. And this is why it's essential that we understand this doctrine of inspiration and a nuance of it. So I don't want you to rush past this. It'd be too easy to miss something very important and also too easy to twist and confuse. The prophetic word has been made sure. It's been fulfilled. And if that word was fulfilled, it's true. The experiences, Peter says, are true. So this word that is inspired for us, we need to follow it. We do well to heed the light that shines in the dark world. That's what he says. Listen, that prophetic word, it says, you do well to heed. Are you heeding what God says in his word? Because it is inspired and God wants you and I not just to hear it, to heed it. I like to say, hear it, heed it, hold on to it, okay? That's what we want to do with the Word of God. And we need to hear it, heed it, and hold on to it. It's shining. It's illuminating. You ever heard that before? Psalm 119. The light that shines, it illumines my path. It illumines my steps and my feet. We saw that last week over in Psalm 19 and Psalm 119. But this is a scripture that's important. It'll make you wise unto salvation, as Peter told Timothy. And we'll get to that next week. But this word that speaks, we have to understand how it originated, how it came to us. And this is what there's a confusion that some people have here because of our translation. And so I want you to see this in verse 20. This is what we know. No prophecy of Scripture. Now notice he didn't say the Old Testament. There's no prophecy of Scripture. In fact, if you hold your place here and flip over into Peter's chapter 3, the words that he wants us to follow are spoken before by the prophets and the commands to us of the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's putting the Old and New Testament together. Over in verse 16 of chapter 3, notice what he says about Paul's letters and all of his epistles, speaking in them of these things in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught, unstable men, they twist to their own destruction, as they do also with the rest of the scriptures. Right there, he put Paul's letters on the same par of scripture. So this is what we understand. Old Testament, New Testament. I don't care if it's Peter's letters, Paul's letters, or the Gospels. All of it. Listen, no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. That word interpretation is not really a good translated word. Really, what it should mean is origin. And what it means is this. No prophecy of Scripture is originating with any individual. All of it, as it says in the next verse, comes not by the will of man, but holy men spoke as what? They were moved by the Holy Spirit. So what he's emphasizing here is the doctrine of inspiration. God's Spirit inspired them to write down the scriptures. They didn't write what they wanted to write. You know how I know that? Hold your place here. I'm going to flip over a couple pages back to 1 Peter. The first epistle Peter wrote. Go ahead, flip over there. 1 Peter chapter 1. Now notice this. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 through 12. Notice when they wrote, the prophets, of this salvation that we have in Jesus, Peter says, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed, well, not to themselves, but to us, that they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel also to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels even desire to look in. In other words, listen, here's the amazing thing. Prophets were writing, individuals were writing, and sometimes they wrote things the Spirit of God was inspired them to write about the Messiah, his sufferings, and what he was going to experience, and they didn't even understand fully all of it as they wrote it down. But they faithfully wrote it down because God's Spirit superintended. He didn't, listen, they didn't just mechanically write it down, okay? He used their unique experiences, their unique gifts. He used their personalities, whether they were a shepherd or whether they were a king or whether they were a fisherman. He inspired each one of them to write it down. And the way he did it is what Peter says here over in verse 21. The Spirit of God moved them. That's a critical word here. The idea, let me give you a word picture. I want you to imagine a sailboat. Now, if you go sailing, and I wouldn't recommend that today, it's quite cold out there, all right? But if you went sailing today in your sailboat, let me tell you one thing that would be essential for you to be able to sail across the cold waters. What would that be? Wind to blow you, right? To blow into your sails, to harness that power of the wind. You cut that sail and you're able to move that ship. He says that's what these men were like. The Spirit of God blew in them, moved them in this way. He inspired. Now, isn't this amazing? Think about this for a moment. Right now, as I speak, wind goes out of my voice. It goes across my vocal cords, making sounds and the way I shape my mouth so that you can hear words that are formed by the wind moving out, breathing out. And that's what inspiration is. Inspiration is God's Spirit blowing these words out to us, God speaking through these individuals and recording for us what's essential so that you and I will place our faith in Him and trust in Him. And the Spirit inspired them, enabled them to write that down. Now, this is very critical. Help me. I want you to understand something right now. What the Spirit inspired was the original autographs. In other words, the Spirit inspired Peter to write 1 Peter and 2 Peter. He inspired Moses to write down the Torah. He inspired Isaiah to write his prophecy. And it's a long one, okay? Over 4 different kings, periods of time, he wrote that down. What is inspired is the original autographs, okay? That's the first copy in Hebrew, in Greek, or Aramaic. That's what's inspired. The copies of those autographs are not inspired, but they're good copies. They're copying the word, okay? We don't have the original autographs today. Why? Well, if we did, we might actually worship them rather than God. You think, you don't believe me, go and travel and you look and see how we venerate different things, religious things, sacred things. I've traveled around the world. I've been there to Bethlehem where they say this is where Jesus was born, and there's all kinds of rituals and routines and burning of incense going on there. I've been even in Turkey, in Istanbul, where they say they've got the hand. It's the skeletal hand of John the Baptist, and ooh and ah, people come and see it, and people worship it. Could you imagine if we had the original autographs, what we would do? We don't have those anymore. What we have are copies of those, and then what we have are translations of those original translations of what is recorded from those original autographs. And so when the Bible was put together, what you and I are trusting in and believing in, this recorded word, is a translation of copies of the original autographs that were collected. And we have, praise the Lord, good, reliable translations. But may I just say, let's stop for a moment there as well. I know some of us like a particular translation over another. And some would even argue that's inspired. Beloved, that is not what is the inspiration, the doctrine of inspiration. The doctrine of inspiration is about the original autographs, not a particular translation that some may say is the authorized version, okay? The Bible was originally, the autographs were in either Hebrew or Greek. And I can tell you, our translations and some who really like theirs are in English. So that doesn't mean, listen, it's inspired. It may be a good translation. Now look, don't go out there and squabble with our Independent Baptist brethren over this point, okay? The point is not to wrangle over the word like that. What we should be doing is sharing the word with the world around us who desperately needs to experience salvation in the living word of God. That's Jesus Christ. But also, let me just say this. Also today, we don't have new inspired devotionals that we should be listening to. One in particular that was very famous is Jesus Calling. Beloved, we have devotionals today that are good and some not so good. But those are not new inspirations by God. If it is, listen, then we need to shut down the printing presses, get those new inspired words in, because they need to be mass produced for everyone. What I have, what you have right here in our Bible, is a translation of the inspired word of God, and that canon is closed. Nothing new is added to it. In fact, let me just go one step further, because I know for some, they think that you have to have a red letter Bible. Now, I have a red letter Bible, and what that means is in the Gospels and in the book of Acts, whenever Jesus speaks, it's printed in red. The Sermon on the Mount, you know, it's all in red. Anything that's historical is in black ink. And the thought is there, now this is the word of God. Jesus has spoken. But can we just stop for a moment and let's think. Let's put on our theological caps for a moment. Every word of the Lord, every word is God-breathed. We're going to learn that next week in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and why that's important. But today, listen, every word is spoken by God. So there's not really a difference between the red letters or the black letters. It's all the word of God. So be careful that we don't venerate one particular portion of scripture over another, a translation over another, or my most recent inspired word from God over the word of God. Beloved, the Bible is what is inspired in the original autographs. And praise God today, I believe God made certain we got good translations of it. Why? So that you and I could put our faith and trust in him. As Peter would say over in chapter 1, listen, God, listen, has given to us everything we need for life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. And he's given us great, exceedingly great and precious promises that through them we can be partakers of the divine nature, and also we can escape this world and its lusts. Praise God, we have a God who speaks. He has inspired men to record his word. That inspired revelation will never lead you the wrong way. It's called the doctrine of infallibility. We'll look at that next week. But the good news is the fulfilled prophecies of the Old Testament, the eyewitness testimony in the New Testament, the words of those in John who gave us the revelation, the final word, the canon's closed. It was inspired. It's truth. We can believe it. I can build my life on it. And beloved, we should do that. And it's so precious to us, we should want to go share it with the world out there. Listen, all the ministries we do are in vain if we don't bring and share the word of God. Why do I say that? Flip with me. Let's close with this and then we'll be done. Go back over to 1 Peter. This is why this is so important, this precious word, and why I believe the aged apostle, knowing he's about to die, I've got to tell them this. They've got to build it, not on these fables, not on this twisted doctrine that people are teaching, but on the word of God. Over in 1 Peter chapter 1, why is this so important, this word? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22, I'll close with this, follow with me. Since, because you have purified your soul in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. Watch this. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Faith comes by hearing, hearing the word of God. We are born again. Yes, the Spirit of God works in us, and we'll get to that in May, I believe. But the word is essential. That seed is planted in our heart, and we choose to believe it. We're convicted, and we realize that's truth, and I need to trust it. And that word changes our life. And beloved, it'll change your life today as well. Praise God. I have, listen, the inspired word of God, a good copy. I have a good translation of it. And I don't mind marking it up and digesting it and turning it over and realizing that that word is not a corruptible seed. It's incorruptible. And right here in my heart and hopefully in yours is brought new life. If it has, let's live like it. Let's show the world that we have heard God speak and our lives have been changed. And it's been changed in such a way that we inspire others to believe in him. Well, man, it's been good to be with you this morning. Thank you for joining in. If you're watching this later, praise the Lord. Everyone, please be safe. We already have been working to get the parking lots cleared so that hopefully we can meet later this week. I know they'll have to do a lot of work on the roads as there's about 8 inches of snow out there. It's kind of crazy, and I'm sure it's worse in other places. Be safe. If you have a need, listen, don't hesitate. Call your deacon. Call the church pastoral staff. If there's an urgent need and you don't have local family who can take care of you, we're a church family. That's what we do, but we have to know. You have to tell us, so please don't hesitate to do that. To all those watching all over the United States of America, thank you for all those who tune in with us. You're always welcome to worship with us in our Facebook Live broadcast. And when you're in town, join us as well on Chipley Ford Road. Again, God bless. It's been good to see you this morning. Father in heaven, help us to love our word, the Bible that you've given to us, Lord, our copies of that word, our translations, Lord. But Lord, most importantly, let us not forget what we saw in the word today. Help us to be not mere hearers of the word, but now as we go, God, help us to be a doer of the word, to put it in action, to flesh out what we believe. And may it change the way we live with our spouses, with our family, with our brothers and sisters, and with this world out there that desperately needs to know Jesus. We love you, we praise you, and ask this all in your powerful name, Jesus. Amen and amen. God bless. God bless. Be safe.